Well, hello, hello, guys, and you're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon, and today on the podcast, we are coming to you live from Monte Carlo and at the Fairmount Hotel in front of beautiful Nikki Beach with...
In Nikki Beach with
Ingrid DeLamar Kenny, and she is the creator of The Method, Simply Inulin and Gangster Chic, and I am really interested to find out all about you. Because I don't know if my listeners or viewers know, but you're a girl who came from a fashion background, started a fashion business, went through all kinds of turmoil and chaos, went through Danbury Prison, of all places, and ended up in the most chic and glamorous environment in the world.
In a nutshell.
She just envisioned it and made her life happen. So tell us a little biography for our listeners so that they know kind of where you came from and what your philosophy is.
So really quickly, I was raised in Miami, so in the United States. I'm French American, born to French parents. This is why today I preach so much of the French culture and French etiquette, especially when it comes to health and wellness. But originally, I lived all of my adult life in New York, where I was, like you said, in the fashion business. I've worked on Sex and the City. I've worked on a few HBO series after that. I've worked on Gossip Girl. I've worked for Isaac Mizrahi. So that was my life. And then came the time where bloggers took over and took our place, kind of, to... You know, people that did my job were not as relevant anymore. And I decided to kind of take a leap of faith and change careers. And at the same time, like you said, I did go to prison for a year. I got into trouble with the law. When I got out of prison, I continued working in New York City for about 3 years, thrived in the fashion business. And after 3 years, I decided to kind of change my life and come to Monaco. And that's where I went back to my original passion, which is fitness and wellness.
Wow. And that sounds so dramatic. Like, dun, dun, dun. I went to prison. She says it so casually. She didn't kill anybody. You didn't. No, there was no murder involved. But what happened? Just business problems.
So I became a mom when I was very young. I was 20 when my first my son was born, Dylan. Shortly thereafter, he was diagnosed with being on the spectrum of autism. And at the time, being that Dylan is 20 years old today, there was very little we knew about autism, and there was very little treatments for autism. So what that meant was having to spend an enormous amount of money that I did not have as a 20-year-old to try and treat it. I found a doctor in New York City. Her name is Dr. Cici McCartan. She's now a pioneer in cognitive development for children and learning disabilities. She diagnosed him. He was 2.5 years old at that time. And she prescribed a treatment that she said could change his life, and it has, but it was very expensive. So at the time, eBay was becoming a big thing. I started selling my clothes on eBay. Made a ton of money with that. I saw that there was an opportunity for me to make money that way and possibly pay for his therapy. Mm-hmm. You know, my job working a union on the set of HBO series was not paying well enough for me to be able to support the medical needs that he had. And so that grew into a huge online business, which at the time was crazy because online was very, very young. And somewhere along the line, I had a partner. Things went wrong. We were accused of non-delivery of goods, which is wire fraud and bank fraud.
So that puts you in the big leagues with the feds.
That put me in the big leagues with the Fed. You get the FBI coming to your door. But the thing is, scary.
And you were like 20-something when this happened, right?
No, actually, I was 30 when that happened because I stopped that business a few years later. But they didn't come to my door until I was 30 years old. So it was like 6 years later. So that's where the initial shock comes, is that I even had forgotten about that business when they came to my door. And I was thriving in the fashion industry when they came to my door.
Yeah, that is so scary. And I can't even imagine being a 20-year-old and having a child who's autistic and then having the resources and intelligence to, like, go out there and find a way to get your child some treatment. That's very, very resourceful of you. Like a mother will do what a mother has to do.
A mother will do what a mother has to do. I'm not making excuses. I should have known what was happening in my business. I should have known, like today, I have orders. I have employees working for me. I don't have a business partner, which is great because you keep a real grip and tight ship. And I think it's made me very good at what I do today because I'm so afraid to kind of repeat history. In that sense, but without making excuses, I didn't really know what was happening in my business. I had a business partner that was in another state that I barely knew, but we were working together, and so, yeah.
Interesting. Well, I think that a lot of times those kind of things make us the people that we are, the turmoils and the tragedies that we have to face in our lives. Either they kill you or they make you stronger, and you've definitely come out stronger. But what made you go into fitness and your whole lifestyle and learn, and what taught you about inulin, actually? Start with inulin, because I find that so interesting. And I think it's a very European approach to being able to eat and feel full. For those of you who don't know what inulin is, it is a prebiotic.
It's fiber,
right? It's from a plant root.
Exactly. So ours is from Jerusalem artichoke root, which is probably the most potent kind of inulin. The most popular one is chicory root, which is good too, if you can get your hands on an inulin that is pure. So ours... So it's a prebiotic. I originally spoke a lot about the fact that it was fiber. You know, I went on Lauren's podcast. We spoke about fiber. She was all about it. But most importantly, it's a prebiotic that feeds your good gut bacteria. And what that does, when your good gut bacteria is fed properly, it will balance out your hormones. I mean, I'm preaching to the choir here. We're talking to a doctor, but it balances out your hormones, your gut microbiome, and all of that finally enables you to feel right without having to go through the restrictive regimen of a diet or, you know, feeling stuck, plateauing with weight loss and having all types of discomforts. A lot of people today are suffering from... IBS and Crohn's disease, so it helps with all of those things.
It does, and it's the kind of thing that really makes you feel satiated. So it fills your stomach in a way that you don't have to have food filling you. You can actually just have it in your coffee, right? You're putting it in all your liquids every day.
I get 5 grams of inulins a day in my liquids or in my food. That's about 24.5 grams of fiber a day. Knowing that we need about 38 grams a day, I make sure, very French, that I get the rest of my fiber from real food. So I don't like when people try to go overboard so they can get that 38 grams from inulin, because I think it's important to get it from real food.
I think so too. I mean, you can overdose on the idea of powders, collagens, vitamins, and supplements, but your body actually needs real fuel to flush out the system and the nutrients, the vitamins that are fresh, you know, from the green vegetables and from the rainbow of colors of antioxidants. You can't replace that.
And you can't replace the effect that it will have on your receptors. So talking about, for example, your ghrelin hormone, which is your hunger hormone, or your leptin hormone, which is your satiation hormone, they actually, those hormones need the visual of real fruits and real vegetables in the form of real food. So they need that to react properly and tell you that you're no longer hungry or tell you that you feel great and you don't need to be eating a carb-rich food that is not necessarily good for you. So that's
true,
why that's
true. Comes. And the body's very complex. Like just the act of chewing, the mastication process stimulates the salivary glands to flow. And that in turn stimulates the digestive enzymes to turn on, which makes you get most of the nutrients out of the food you're eating. So you can't skip steps. You can't be a person who just lives on green juice and smoothies, because your body relies on these basic thousands of years old mechanisms. So you do have to actually eat.
Listen to the doctor. She knows. Yeah. I love that. Yeah. I couldn't have explained it better than you, obviously.
Well, I'm all about trying to be more natural, and I'm a big carb lover, sadly. I love, love, love carbs.
So do I.
I know.
I love carbs.
I'd rather eat bread and cheese at a meal than anything else.
But the good news is, while you are here, if you have sour bread, which is a big thing here, it's actually good for your gut. And you might feel a lot lighter than you do when you digest than if you actually ate bread in the United States. So try it and tell me what you think.
On top of the croissants that I'm eating, I'm going to try some sourdough bread. Yeah. Yes, I love sourdough. I wanted to talk a little bit about your exercise system, too. So we're here in Monte Carlo. You're hosting a whole one-day seminar, and I want to come next year when you do your seminar. How fun would that be?
That would be amazing.
We should do a day of beauty as well. Like I can, we can come and we'll be like your consultants for like come and ask about beauty and natural beauty,
and come inject us.
Why not? Yes.
So yes, we have actually what I love, the serendipity of it all, is when you invited me on your podcast, you said, come to the Fairmont. I come here every day. This is where I park my car because the Method Studio is in the building right next door, which is attached to this. And the Method is the workout regimen that I created. It's a protocol that is based on the foundations of Pilates. And I love something that you said before. You said there are ancient mechanisms in your body. And Pilates also is quite ancient. It was created by Joseph Pilates over 100 years ago. And ever since, it's become something super popular. I mean, you know, you're from California. You hear all about it. But what you may not know is that marketing Pilates has transformed it significantly. So what I've done, like what I do with health, like what I did with Inulin, is go back to the original Pilates method. And around it, I created 348 patented unique movements with an equipment that is not used in the industry at all for Pilates, and I've created the method. So what that does is it's a little bit more performant, if not a lot, to try and stay humble than regular Pilates. And it can help a woman transform her body, but it could also help a professional athlete, and I have a few that live here in Monaco that I train, condition for their own discipline. So I have a tennis player, I have a soccer player, for example, I have an MMA fighter, and it conditions them and strengthens them for their own discipline.
So do you need special equipment or it's special maneuvers?
So the movements are unique, so you pretty much need the instruction, which I'm here for, which I've created. And the equipment is a reformer stick, which was originally created by a company called Gymstick to be an aqua gym stick, which has nothing to do with what we do. And I reached out to the company over 9 years ago, and I said to them, you know, I want to use it to make movements around. And they were like, knock yourself out. And that's pretty much what's happened.
That's amazing. So when I see Lauren from the Skinny Confidential doing her Skype method sessions with you, she's using this whole system, and that's so interesting. I definitely want to try that one of these days when I'm not in the operating room.
When you come to the retreat, because our retreat is about a week. It's coming up at the Grand Hotel du Café on Monday, and it's a 7-day retreat. We're going to be exercising. We're going to be preaching, eating real food.
Nice.
Mediterranean cuisine, and not deprive yourself, not being scared of eating olive oil. I'd like you to touch on that, actually. How do you feel about that for skin, for the fatty acids?
I think oils are essential, and I think that they've been really criminalized in our society, and I feel that that's like not an intelligent way to look at the diet and nutrition. Your brain is primarily made of lipids, and your nervous system relies on lipids to regenerate itself. And your skin, the quality and content of your skin is very important with lipids. Every major system in the body requires fats. And I think, you know, Mediterranean culture for sure has demonstrated that olive oils are very beneficial. The linoleic acids especially are very beneficial. What do you advise your patients? Or your clients?
Because I'm not a doctor. I wish I was one, but I rely on incredible doctors for my sources, like yourself. I want to bring you on the podcast because you word things so perfectly, but at the same time, you make it so understandable for an audience that's not necessarily medically inclined to understand things. I advise my patients, I was going to say.
Yeah, your clients.
My clients to actually follow a Mediterranean diet and to not be afraid to have a tablespoon of olive oil on their salad. What I do stress, what is important, is quality. So the quality of your olive oil, especially if you're in the United States, which I know a lot of you are, is to look for European olive oil. You know, cold press, make sure that it's good quality. And if that is the case, then you should have it every day.
Yeah, I That's excellent. And I also tell my patients that they need to eat less because I think calorie counting is super important. You should have a good life. You should eat what you want to eat, but you also should take into consideration that we all need to have a budget. We can't every day have, you know, 5,000 calorie day. You need to have, you know, an average woman should eat about 1,500 to 1,800 calories a day. And it's difficult, but you have to sometimes, you know, say no to foods. And one thing I notice in Europe is the portions are small. People walk a ton and they burn off what they eat and they don't eat excessively. And they stay a little bit hungry. It's okay to be a little bit hungry.
The thing, and that's where inulin comes in and helps a lot for people that have had this mentality, because it's become a mentality even here with the younger generations, become a mentality that you shall never be hungry. But actually, I'm reading parts of the Talmud, which is very ancient Jewish wisdom, nothing to do with religion but more with them. And what it says is that you should eat, one third should be food in your stomach, one third should be water, and the other third should be empty. And if you do so, that is your secret to longevity.
That's so interesting, because it's definitely like it leaves room for mixing and aeration and processing. And yes.
So inulin comes in as an aid for that, because our endocrine systems have definitely been very screwed up by whatever is manufactured and that we consume. Even sometimes we consume it thinking it's a health food. So I do believe that this had made us hungry beasts. We're hungry when we're not supposed to be. We want more food. The diet industry is creating this type of food now that, because it's lower in carbs, you should be eating more of it. And I hate that. I see stacks of pancakes because they are diet pancakes. That's not chic. So what I tell people, because I don't count calories, I'm not an accountant. I would have gone to medical school, but I'm not a freaking accountant. I'm trying not to curse because I know. Yeah, I'm trying to behave. But what I say is, short of counting calories, short of driving yourself crazy by doing accounting, just look at your plate and see, is it chic? If your plate doesn't look chic, if it has a stack of whatever, it's not freaking chic. Don't have it.
Oh, my God. That's such good and easy advice. You have to eat an Instagram pretty plate. And don't turn around and stack it up like a buffet, like American style. Because I'm sorry, I've been to weddings where I take like one of everything. And by the time I come back to the table, my plate's like overflowing. And you're so right. Like, I always kind of look at those ladies that have like the 5 pieces of vegetables and 1 piece of meat, and I'm a little jealous that, like, oh, I should have got that plate instead of mine, right?
So eat chic. What a good motto.
Eat chic. And the thing is, the mind-to-body axis is so important, the same way that, you know, the brain-to-gut axis is important. Yeah. So mind-to-body is, the more you look at it, rather than I'm on a restriction, I'm on a diet, I'm counting carbs, because I eat fiber, there are less carbs, and all of that mentality, looking at it from, let's be chic, let's do this on a chic standpoint, automatically your body responds better to that. Your body is happier.
That's very true. And also mentally, like, your brain wants to be that sophisticated, elegant person who's eating correctly and enjoying every morsel and thinking about what they're eating, not just shoveling it in.
Exactly. Right. Giving your time also, like, that's what I always say. The body needs time to digest. Your body needs time to identify what you're eating. And if you are feeding your body any type of replacement, you are only fooling yourself. You cannot fool the gut. You cannot fool the body with fake food.
Very true. What do you think about, on a different topic, facial plastics and aesthetic things? I've noticed in Europe that everyone's very subtle, and I think that's a good thing. But I'm wondering, like, is it becoming more popular? Is it something that's taboo and not talked about?
So I'm very American, as you can see. I take care of my skin. I get Botox. I get a little bit of injection in my nose because I broke it and I have like a sort of a dent here. So I get injected. I do the liquid nose injections as well. How do you call that?
A liquid rhinoplasty.
Yeah. So I do a tad over here.
Right.
And I don't plan on being subtle. As I grow old, I just asked you about one thing that I wanted to do.
The thread lifts. So we were talking about thread lifts, which are super popular all across the world, but
here they're super popular.
And yeah, I'm not entirely convinced, and I do feel that a lot of dermatologists have been doing thread lifts because they're not surgeons. And, you know, as a surgeon, I look to see something that has really great results. So I want to place a suture that's anchored and tied and tethered. Yeah. Why would I leave a thread free-floating in your face? There's just not that much purchase and support. So it looks good while it's swollen. I'm not convinced that it has longevity and durability.
Yeah, but I like that you answered that question for me. So like I said, I do feel like the French can be a little too subtle. But at the same time, I give them credit because they've understood also that, you know, beauty is from within. So that is a mentality that I love, because the American will go starve herself. She will go on Adderall. She will get all wrinkled from it and looking gray and looking like crap, and then
feeling like a bitch too.
Yeah, and also being super bitchy. But she will go get the injections to fix it, whereas the French is going to eat really good food, is going to have a glass of wine. She's going to have that glow. You see it, they're like, they have that glow of the person that's not restricted or anything. And so she will have less of a tendency to kind of look at her face and go, oh, I need to inject this and I need to plumb that. I wish they would a little more. I wish they would do their nails and have their hair a little more perfect like we do in the States. This is definitely one of the things that gets me those weird looks here because I'm a little different. But I'm all for it.
Yeah.
I think that's awesome. And I agree with you. The things I love about European women, I was in Barcelona in Spain for a week before coming to Monte Carlo. And I love that everybody is super body confident. Even if they're not super glam, whatever, they know who they are and they're proud to be that woman. And I love that they exercise a lot, the proportions that they eat, the attitude is great. I don't love that they smoke. I mean, everywhere.
It's forbidden everywhere. So now you're kidding
because it's everywhere.
I think because when you arrive at the forum, for example, they're probably all outdoors smoking. Yes. But now everywhere on the inside, it's forbidden. So I'm not a smoker. Good. I smoked a cigar once in a while because I think it's gangster. They do smoke and it does reflect on their skin. I do look at some women, even some of the French celebrities, and go, girl, go get Botox. It's no big deal.
Yeah.
You know, and the smoking does not help for sure.
For sure. When you smoke, you definitely will age your skin by 10 years. And that is not over exaggeration. That is definite. I can walk into a room and know if a person's a smoker just by assessing their skin. So I definitely feel, and I worry that younger women are vaping a lot and thinking they're vaping and it starves their appetite. They love the nicotine it's so addictive. Nicotine is extremely addictive. It makes you not hungry. It makes you skinny. So all the models are vaping. All the young 20-year-olds are vaping.
Young kids, my daughter's friends are vaping. And my problem with vaping is like with a lot of new trends and new things when it comes even to wellness. Not that I'm comparing vaping with wellness, but it's new. We don't know what the effects are in 10 or 12 years. That's my problem with vaping.
You're the test generation out there, whoever's vaping right now. And I don't recommend it at all. It's equally carcinogenic as cigarettes, equally, and maybe more so because you smoke it a little more freely thinking that it's not a cigarette. But it's, And the nicotine it's such a strong version of nicotine. It's very potentiated. It's kind of like the marijuana these days is 10 times stronger than marijuana from when we were kids.
Like everything else, like the processed food, it's the same thing. Everything now is 10 times worse than it was 10 years ago.
I was surprised to see that marijuana is legalized now in Spain anyway. I don't know about France. Is it legal? That was so interesting.
Well, you know, France is a lot more conservative, as you can see. I mean, you experienced it with me before when I asked people for a spoon or whatever. Everything is guarded. Everything is a little bit more conservative.
How the hell do you deal with that? Because it's slightly annoying.
It's very annoying. I'm very lucky that I do not have an accent when I speak French, so it gets me through some doors that you might, not. But the kids and I have been struggling with the French mentality in that aspect. We love the whole etiquette. We love the whole mentality, the beautiful life, and this kind of nonchalant, low cortisol lifestyle. But the guarded mentality is definitely something that's hard for our very American minds.
I love that low cortisol lifestyle. I need that too. I'm in the high cortisol lifestyle at the moment, but I definitely love that. Your kids sound very Americanized. They have American accents. They grew up here and went to school here.
No, my kids were born in the States and we only came 7 years ago. So my son was 13 when we arrived. And we keep a very American household in the sense, maybe not with food or with manners or etiquette, but everything else is very American. We only watch American TV and listen to, you know, of course, American music. So,
and congratulations on raising your son to get him from that stage of 2 years old being diagnosed with autism. And then I understand he's going to go to law school.
He is in law school. He's law school. Actually completing his first year of law school. It is in the sixth best law school in the UK right now. He's no longer autistic, which is not really short of a miracle, because it was many, many years of therapy and, you know, obstacles. But he is completely normal today, and he's a brilliant law student.
That's so incredible. You must be so proud of him. And I'm a mother of four. And you have how many kids?
Three.
And being a mom definitely changes you in your life and your body. For sure, it changes your body.
Absolutely. No. It changes your body. For me, it's definitely made me so aware of hormones, which is something that I speak a lot about, the same way that I speak about the gut. So the reason why hormones are such a big part of what I speak about, my philosophy on things, is because my body changed completely. My hormones changed completely.
Are women doing the hormone injections here, or the bioidentical pellets and that kind of thing? That's going to be so popular when it comes to France. It's really quite interesting.
So it's funny because French people are...
They're ready to age.
Like a fine wine and a fine cheese.
I mean, have you seen Brigitte Bardot?
Oh my God, I think that's sort of tragic, personally.
It's absolutely tragic. That's where I stayed, I think, quite American. And I like to stay cutting edge. I mean, look, inulin, simply inulin, is something that is ancient, especially in France. It's something that in Eastern Europe was used for hundreds of years to satiate families, putting it in their bread loaves. In France, you speak to people about inulin, even though the whole mentality behind inulin is very French, they go, what's that?
How popular is Instagram out here?
It's pretty popular. It's getting there. It's getting there.
Yeah. So I'm lecturing today about social media and getting, you know, how Instagram works with aesthetics and plastic surgery. So that's going to be interesting for you as one of the first people out here probably to get big in Instagram on your account and stuff.
Yeah, well, Monaco is really a micro country. So that's very funny. It's about 2 square kilometers.
There's about 3 influencers here.
There's a few influencers, but you will get recognized on the street, even though I never considered myself an influencer. I feel like, as you know, as soon as you're an expert in something and you have a business, then you're a businesswoman. You're not an influencer. But, you know, so I guess put me in the micro-influencer category. And so people might even recognize you after, you know, kind of looking the Monaco tag and say, hey, I know you. You're that doctor. You were on this guy's account and you were here and there. So it's the micro country thing. It's pretty fun.
It's such an exotic, rich city. Is everybody here just an heiress or a billionaire? No, because every single car is like extremely expensive. Every single woman is very decked out.
Yeah. So those are the people that, you know, that came recently. And I mean, it's been like this always in Monaco. People come with their fortune from Switzerland, from England, you know. But there is a working class in Monaco. There are people that are born here and that get an enormous amount of help from the government. Yeah. The life is beautiful, but it's not all as glamorous as you think.
Right.
There are people that are working hard.
What's your best advice for a woman who's a regular girl walking into a party or a room where there's so many chic women there and they're all glamorous and beautiful, and you feel intimidated? You feel like, how do you put on your best face and dive in? You're so confident. What's your advice for that, for your daughters, for a woman who's just learning to be confident?
I think that my advice for that is definitely to be as simple as you can. For me, that is something that has worked since I moved to Monaco. Being an American, I used to love wearing so much accessories and the high heels and stuff. And I've realized that kind of like taking it down a notch and letting myself shine through rather than accessories is what has given me confidence. So I always tell my daughter, less is more. Remember, just be chic and French. It's a little bit less, because the people you are actually talking about that are all decked out, they're not French. Those are the, you know, probably the Swiss or the Russians, all these people that come here and have all these marks of wealth. The French are a little bit different. They will wear that little black dress and just let the chic manners and the posture shine through. So that's my advice.
To be more elegant.
Be more elegant.
And be yourself. Yeah, I tell patients that as well when I see them for their faces, because very often they'll come in and say, well, I want to get my cheeks and my jawline and my nose and my under eyes and it all in one day. And like, you know, sometimes less is more. You have to really refine your techniques with the face, and you really have to be subtle, and you have to bring out the best features of the person. We don't want every woman looking like an Instagram girl.
We don't want every woman looking the same. We have that a lot, though. We have some women that look all exactly the same.
You do.
And we don't want that.
What do you say to the haters out there? I know, like, being a public person, I'm a public person, you're a public person. We've been trolled on our Instagram pages for sure. We get fake reviews written on Yelp by competitors and evil people at night who sit at home and write up fake accounts and write rude comments. So how do you deal with that? I know you have some haters that you've talked about.
I speak about it very often. I think the worst part is when you can identify your troll, which I've been able to do. I've had someone troll me and I knew exactly who it was. And the first thing I have to say to myself to take out the emotional out of it is whatever she thinks about me is really none of my business. It's really her problem, but that's not enough. So what I do with that, and I'm very outspoken about it because I've had a child who has been bullied. I mean, obviously my son Dylan going through what he's gone through and not being deemed normal by society. You can imagine how, you know, how bullied he has been. And we fought it very actively. I fight it. I fight back. I will take screenshots. I will post them on my story. And then I will let my tribe show them, you know, kind of a taste of their own medicine. That's a good way for these trolls to kind of reflect at what that looks like once they see it on the screen.
It's such bad behavior, and Instagram has allowed people the ability to be anonymous and to be basically writing graffiti and trash. And it's like, why do you need to pollute the world? If you have that pollution, you should just keep it in you. But you're absolutely right. You know, it's not your business to worry about what trolls say. It's your business to know who you are, and they know who you are, and that's why they're trolling, you know?
Exactly. But, you know, we've had instances. Did I tell you this? I thought I might have said this to you, and that will resonate with you. You met my daughter, Dakota, today, but I'm sure you've seen Savannah as well, and she's almost 18 years old. She has my cheeks.
Yes.
And someone wrote to me the other day, it's one thing that you're injecting your cheeks, but how dare you inject your daughter's cheeks?
Oh, my God.
And I'm like,
do you not know what youthful 18-year-old cheeks look like?
You know, and it's so this goes to another level. When the kids get attacked, it's very difficult. But I've realized that a lot of it is ignorance. And I love something that you said the other day. You said, I don't know where you wrote this, but you said, why are people always looking down on trying to better yourself, injecting yourself or whatever? That's, they really try to shame you.
They do, and I don't understand why. Like, it's your choice. It's your body, your beauty, your definition of how you want to put yourself in the world, whether you get a piercing or a tattoo or you get your brows done, your hair dyed. Like, this beauty is a choice, and you have no business legislating someone else's decision of what they want to look like. Right?
I think so, and you make women feel beautiful. I feel like you and I are doing exactly the same thing in different parts of the body.
It's so true, and it's such a pleasure to help people feel good about themselves. It's the best feeling to give someone confidence.
It really is.
It's the best feeling to give women confidence. I work with some men, but I have to say, giving women confidence, which is something they lack so much today, is something that makes my mission a labor of love. And I know it's the same for you. I see it. I see your smile when you pose with your patients, when you're happy.
I love it. It's and you have to tell yourself, I mean, I was not a confident girl growing up. I have a bigger nose. I have so many things I didn't like about myself. But at some point in your life, you make a decision like, this is it. I'm going to try to be who I want to be, and I'm going to be confident. I'm just going to do it. Like, what's the worst that can happen?
And it shines through.
Yes.
And when I saw you, you could see you're beautiful, you're confident, it worked.
Yeah, and I teach. I have three daughters, so it's very important for me to teach beauty, not in terms of physical appearance. This is all temporary.
Absolutely.
There is no way we're not all going to become older. And it's fate. It's happening to us. So you need to learn the beauty of yourself. You know, it really is what you project when you walk into a room.
Exactly.
Because there are many girls who don't have every feature perfectly aligned like a plastic surgery textbook. But they often are the ones that bounce in with bubbly personalities and you want to go hang out with them.
Absolutely. It shines through. I always tell my daughter, do not compare yourself to anyone. There's absolutely no one like you. And it's the same for everyone.
Embrace your imperfections because those turn out to be your assets very often. That's a quote that I didn't say, but I really like that one.
I like that one. We have to rewrite it and post it. It's a good one.
Well, it's been such a pleasure to chat with you today. And I can't thank you enough for my sample of Inulin. And we were drinking coffee with Inulin this whole time, and it tastes fabulous. You can't even tell that there's anything in it. I'm excited to try it. And where can my followers find you on Instagram?
So I am. It's long. I hope you're going to put in the show notes.
I will definitely. And we'll tag you throughout the week when I'm trying my Inulin.
So Ingrid Delamar Kenny, that's my handle on Instagram. And for Inulin, it is simply Gangster Chic. Now, I'm sure you can know, you can imagine why I called it Gangster.
Yes, I love that. You should own it. Own it. And you come across as a badass, gorgeous girl with such confidence. So keep it up.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank
you.
My pleasure. And we'll talk to you soon. And thanks, everybody, for listening in. And you've been listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon. Don't forget to find me on my Instagram doing amazing things with people's faces at Beauty by Dr. K. And my website is the same. Try my amazing skincare line at beautybybydrk.com. Yes, for sure. We're going to send you some. And we are coming to Monaco for sure if you'll have us when you do your retreat next year.
Absolutely. Same time. Same place next year.
Beauty, health, and wellness. It will be amazing. That's it for now, girls. Stay beautiful.